This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Jerome Powell is poised to lead the Federal Reserve for another 4 years. What's in store?
I think the real challenge for the Fed is that the world in the next few years looks very different from the world that they prepared for over the last 4 years.
And how markets reacted to the news. Plus, why airlines are changing their frequent flyer programs. It's Monday, November 22nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. President Biden says he'll nominate Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell for a second term. In an announcement this afternoon, Biden praised Powell's leadership during the pandemic, saying he's the right person to address the threat of rising inflation. The president said Powell also has a proven record of political independence.
I believe having Fed leadership with a broad bipartisan support is important, especially now in such a politically divided nation. I believe we need to do everything we can to take the bitter partisanship of today's politics out of something as important as the independence and credibility of the Federal Reserve.
Biden says he'll nominate Lael Brainard as vice chair of the Fed's Board of Governors. We'll talk more about the challenges they face if confirmed later in today's show. Powell's nomination is likely to mean the current monetary policy framework will continue, ending a guessing game for Wall Street. The news led to a mixed close. The S&P 500 pared back earlier gains to finish lower, down 0.3%. The Dow gained less than a tenth of a percent, and the Nasdaq fell 1.3%. Police in Waukesha, Wisconsin, say they've charged a suspect in custody, Darryl Brooks, with 5 counts of first-degree intentional homicide. Officials say he allegedly drove an SUV through a Christmas parade on Sunday while fleeing the scene of a domestic disturbance. 5 adults were killed and dozens more were injured, including children. Police say more charges will come later. An attorney for Brooks could not immediately be reached for comment. In San Jose, California, Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes is back on the witness stand. She began testifying in her own defense Friday afternoon against fraud charges related to her now-defunct blood testing startup. Over the course of 11 weeks, prosecutors argued that Holmes defrauded patients and investors. She's expected to be on the stand through at least tomorrow, after which court will end for the week. We report exclusively that NBC Universal is considering pulling its content from streaming service Hulu and making it exclusive to its own Peacock platform. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Our reporter Lillian Rizzo has more on what it could mean for the streaming wars.
There's a big separation of content and where to find it, which means consumers have to shell out more for more subscriptions. And then it might come to a point of how many subscriptions are people willing to pay for?
NBC Universal owns a third of Hulu, and Walt Disney controls the rest. Under the terms of its deal, NBC can exit the content licensing agreement early next year. If it doesn't, content would remain on the service until at least 2024. For more, be sure to listen to tomorrow's Tech News Briefing podcast. The Swedish telecom equipment maker Ericsson has struck a deal to buy cloud communications provider Vonage for $6.2 billion. Ericsson said the purchase, its biggest ever if it closes, will expand its wireless enterprise business and broaden its global offerings. And the National Association of Realtors says existing home sales rose 0.8% last month, at the highest pace since January. That puts U.S. home sales on track for their biggest year in 15 years, as buyers continue to compete for a limited number of homes on the market. Coming up, Fed Chair Jerome Powell led the Fed through the height of the pandemic. What challenges await in the next 4 years?
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is set to be nominated for a second term leading the central bank. Speaking after President Biden announced his nomination today, Powell said the Fed will use the tools at its disposal to support the recovery.
Inside the Federal Reserve, we understand that our decisions matter for American families and communities. I strongly share that sense of mission, and I'm committed to making those decisions with objectivity and with integrity based on the best available evidence in the longstanding tradition of monetary policy independence.
Powell has bipartisan support and is likely to be confirmed by the Senate. But he wasn't a shoo-in. There had been opposition to his nomination on Capitol Hill. And he's facing more challenges ahead, first and foremost inflation, which is raising consumer costs on many goods and services. Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal Chief Economic Correspondent Greg Ipp. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Greg, in the weeks leading up to this announcement, there had been some uncertainty over whether President Biden would nominate Powell for a second term. What's behind his decision here?
I think that President Biden had several reasons for nominating Jerome Powell. First of all, there's bipartisan agreement and agreement by most independent experts that Powell's done a really good job. He responded forcefully to the economic slump caused by the pandemic and the financial turmoil. He's reoriented the entire approach of the Fed towards emphasizing full employment and understanding that the world, at least of the previous 10 years, had been one where inflation had just historically been quite low, and it was necessary to sort of rethink your priorities given that. And Powell had also done a very good job of cultivating support on both sides of the aisle. So given that Democrats have barely got control of the Senate, it was important to choose somebody who was not going to face a lot of opposition in his confirmation hearings.
And what about the choice of Lael Brainard as vice chair, sort of splitting the difference here? She had been under consideration for the chair role. What can you tell us about her and her approach to monetary policy?
So there were some Democrats who objected to giving Mr. Powell a second term. They would have preferred Governor Lael Brainard. She is currently a governor on the 7-member Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve and the only Democrat on the board, I might add. I think that in the end, what President Biden has done here is sort of split the difference. He gets the chairman with the bipartisan credibility and the proven track record. That's Jerome Powell. But with Lael Brainard, he also puts in a very senior position somebody who shares Mr. Powell's monetary inclinations. She's actually in some ways perhaps a bit more dovish, more inclined to emphasize employment over inflation risks right now, and will also be in a position to steer the Fed in a more activist direction on some of those things that progressive Democrats care about the most.
So, Greg, as you said, Powell is expected to be confirmed by the Senate, but he also has his critics, as you mentioned, of course, Senator Elizabeth Warren, as well as progressives. What's their key opposition to him?
Some progressive Democrats have already come out and said that they're going to vote against another term for Chair Powell. Those include Jeff Merkley from Oregon and Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts. And their objections are mostly that they feel that Chair Powell has overseen a loosening of regulations covering banks in concert with financial regulators who had been appointed by the previous Trump administration. They also think climate change is really, really important. And there's a movement around the world to really emphasize taking steps to limit fossil fuel emissions and reinforce the economy against extreme weather in the financial system. And the view of these progressive Democrats is that Chair Powell had dragged his feet on making climate a priority for the Fed. By contrast, Governor Lael Brainard had been fairly emphatic about making climate change fairly important. Now, it's not all, you know, smooth sailing on the Republican side of the aisle either. There are Republicans who are unhappy with the support that Chair Powell gave to increased stimulus, which was seen as favoring Democratic priorities. Out there in the public as well, there's a lot of concern about inflation right now. It's around 6%, the highest in 30 years. Since the Federal Reserve is ultimately the institution responsible for inflation, some Republicans and possibly a few Democrats, like Joe Manchin of West Virginia, will be asking if this is the right person to get inflation back to a more acceptable level. So I think that there are a few risks for Chair Powell on both sides of the aisle.
Let's talk about the challenges Powell would face in a second term, including inflation. Consumers are facing higher prices for just about everything. How important is it for the Fed to bring inflation under control quickly?
It's pretty important for the Fed to bring inflation under control. I don't think that it's necessary they do so quickly because, frankly, some of the forces that are pushing prices up are simply things over which the Fed has no control in the near term. I think the real challenge for the Fed is that the world in the next few years looks very different from the world that they prepared for over the last 4 years. Before the pandemic, the world was one of just perpetually low inflation that just the Fed could not seem to get back to its 2% target. Of a world where the traditional trade-off between unemployment and inflation didn't seem to exist any longer. You could get extremely low unemployment and bring into the labor force a lot of people who had been left out, especially from minority groups and other disadvantaged groups, without paying a price in terms of higher inflation. I think there's a lot of evidence that the world is very different today. We are, in fact, seeing inflation well above the Fed's 2% target. And while I think most people expect it to come back down in the next year or two, it's not a sure thing that it will come back to 2%. What if it only comes back to, say, 3% or so? That's a situation the Fed would have to respond to with higher interest rates. And it's entering this period with its monetary settings kind of like calibrated for an emergency. They're buying bonds. They've got interest rates set at zero. This is the kind of monetary stance that's extremely stimulative and not really appropriate for an economy that's booming and with inflation running well above the Fed's 2% target. So I think the real challenge for Mr. Powell will be whether he can pivot from being this very dovish chairman for a world that looks very different from today's world.
And just how well Powell and the Fed are able to steer us out of the pandemic has implications not just for him and the central bank, but also for the Biden administration.
The view of the Fed, and frankly of most private economists, is that the inflation problem we have right now is a transitory problem, is that in a year or two, most of the supply chain bottlenecks will have been resolved. The labor market will be much more buoyant as people lose their fear of going to work because of the virus and so forth. And given that, we may be back into that world of before the pandemic where inflation is around 2%, perhaps even lower. And the Fed can once again focus on full employment outcomes and doesn't have to worry about pushing interest rates very high. That's a pretty good world to be in. I just think that the question right now is monitoring the data very closely to see whether, in fact, that's the world that we get.
Wall Street Journal chief economics commentator Greg Ipp. Greg, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks a lot for having me.
And finally, traditionally frequent flyer programs were set up to reward loyal customers with perks for the miles they flew. But now, some carriers are rewriting the rules for the programs. Our middle seat columnist Scott McCartney says flying may not matter as much.
You know, what really matters to the airline is how much you pay, not how far you fly. So the programs have sort of evolved into frequent spending programs, not frequent flying programs. And we've seen this sort of go to the full extreme with American Airlines. Next year, they're changing the rules on their program so that you can get status completely with your credit card. You never have to set foot on an airplane. And you can be one of their top-level frequent flyers simply by spending a lot on the credit card. It makes sense for airlines economically, but it really challenges and changes the notion that these are frequent flyer programs.
We've got more from Scott on airline rewards on our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.